is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step, episode number 225, and asking the all-too-important question, is it necessary to turn up the volume, as she says? Because we're pretty excited today. Episode number 225, about spirituality, about life, love, about looking at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. So take a next step with us right now. Jog, run, walk, whatever you want to do. This is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, ready or not, I think we did take a next step last night. Hey, so good to have you with us. And I think, like, during this week, we've been inseparable, haven't we? From the Avon Walk and then last night, the 30th anniversary. Thank you. Thank you so much to all of our listeners. It's great to have you with us right now. Big shout out to all of you who joined us from throughout the world, especially Amida up in Canada and Opgar over there in Australia and Jorge down in Argentina. Well, down or up, depending on what side of the world you're at, right? You're absolutely right. Two out of the three that I mentioned are on the other side of the world, right? Yeah, Australia and Argentina. Well, so we are the people down under. Whatever way you turn the globe, it is just so good to have you with us. We have had some exciting times. We started off this weekend by doing the 39-mile walk for against breast cancer with the good folks at Avon, and what an excitement that was. There were 17 of us in Team In Her Shoes, led by my sister Anish. Oh man, what was that all about? We were walking and walking and walking, and I got blisters now that are still there. I don't know. I didn't think it was going to take me this long. Actually, I did really, really good. I made it through the 2 days without any blisters, and it was when I got home, took off my shoes, and there they were. And so anyway, I'm dealing with it. Not too much pain. Actually, very, very little pain. But the blisters are kind of like weird, you know? I don't know. Yeah, blisters, it's like a weird kind of phenomena, isn't it? Like, what are those? Anyway, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to do the visual. I don't even want to talk about it, except to just let you know that they're there. And I'm not the only one. 17 of us at least felt close enough. We were part of one group, so we saw each other's blisters. And I'm sure the other couple thousand that were walking, they had their share of blisters too. What an incredible event. And then it kind of just like went through to yesterday. We celebrated the 30th anniversary of my ordination into the priesthood. And I got to tell you, it was very emotional. It was a time for reflection. I had a chance to look back and at the same time really talk about where we're going, where we're headed as a church. And it was emotional because we had a lot of people that showed up from different eras in my ministry of those 30 years. I mean, we started off with this idea of doing something kind of low-key. Wednesday evenings, as you know, it's our Questions in Faith, our Bible study, and we get together. And it so happened that the 30th anniversary of my ordination, September 26th, fell right on that Wednesday night. So we said, okay, let's glorify the Bible study a little bit by having this celebration, an opportunity to talk about where we were, but also talk about where we're headed as a church, as a ministry. What is Armadoxy all about? And, well, beyond us, it was wild. It was emotional. People from the past, different points of the ministry. Even a group came up. Well, they didn't come down from Cupertino. They've been down here. Cupertino, San Jose, yeah. Third largest city in the state of California, right after Los Angeles and San Diego. Third largest is San Jose. We have a church up there in a town called Cupertino. And if you don't know where Cupertino is, well, open up your iPhone. Open up your Macintosh. That's where Apple headquarters is. And we were up there. Our ministry began up there, 1982. This is before Apple was Apple. In fact, there was a little place called Cicero's Pizza, and there was a granary, believe it or not, where Apple Computer now sits. It was a granary, and we used to drive by there. Those were the days. Those were the days, but also the days that followed. It became just an important part of life because, of course, beyond Cupertino, the entire area had a calling to become Silicon Valley and, of course, to lead technology in ways that gave birth to this podcast, among many, many millions of other things, right? We're able to use these things called computers, and it's almost like indispensable part of life. And I shared with the people some of the stories. In fact, one of them, which was, it was a wild one for me, as I remember the first time I gave a demonstration about computers in the Armenian Church. It was 1985, and I had this suitcase. It was literally a big giant Samsonite that I had filled up with all kinds of computer equipment, including the main processor, which was an Apple IIc, and the monitor, which was, I believe it was probably about a 9-inch monitor, but the tube was about 18 inches. Double the size was the length of the tube. And putting it all into this suitcase with the cords, with all the peripherals and everything else. And I dragged it out to this convention, this clergy conference, because the bishop of that time had asked me to talk about, well, computers in the Armenian Church. And I took it out there. 1985, okay, mind you. Prehistoric, right? And I took it out there and we're talking about computers, and one priest looks at me and he says, "What? You think you're gonna baptize people with a computer?" Let me tell you something. Last night when we were there, 30 years after my ministry had started, all of a sudden across from me, there was Gregory Berlerian. He had come to celebrate with us last night too. And I just remembered those words. You're going to use a computer to baptize? And sure enough, when we baptized Greg's daughter, the godfather was in France. So guess what? We Skyped him in. Yes, we did use a computer to baptize somebody. That's wild, isn't it? How these things turn out. Anyway, it was a time for reflection. It was a time for... I hope you get a chance to watch it. It was not because it's about this 30 years that have been an incredible journey, but it just flowed. It really, really flowed last night. And it'll be up on YouTube. If not tonight, then tomorrow. Please do check it out. So I'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about the Avon Walk. We've got a great show for you today. A lot of different aspects and angles to look at. Before we get to the song of the day, let me do a big shout out to a very personal friend. Mentor. He has been a mentor to me, and that is the Reverend Father Vartan Archpriest Kasparian, who is retiring this weekend. They're having a big retirement party. He has been the spiritual head of the St. Mary Armenian Church in a town called Yetem. Yetem is an Armenian word for Eden, and believe it or not, here in California, you open up the map and there is a town called Yetem, not Eden, called Yetem. It's an Armenian name given to that town, and you go through that town right now, you'll see a few houses that are still inhabited by non-Armenians, but there is a giant Armenian church, and it's a beautiful church. It's probably really one of those beautiful, cozy little Armenian churches. Big on the outside, small in the inside, so that it is warm enough for the congregation to get together and really get together. And of course, Father Vartan has been instrumental in that community. He has been really a pioneer. When I talk about my 30 years as a priest, I became a priest in 1982, having gone to Armenia during the Brezhnev era. Now I say going to Armenia because part of being a priest is not only getting your education, postgraduate work here in the States, but also to do some time in an Armenian monastery, whether it is in Armenia, in Jerusalem, or in Antilias. I don't think the fourth monastery would be in Istanbul, and I don't believe that we've ever sent anybody to Istanbul for training. But I know that those three centers, primarily Etchmiadzin today, because of the political situation in the Middle East, Jerusalem they used to send quite a bit, but today you go to Etchmiadzin, and I'm not really sure about Antilias anymore. If people are still sent to Beirut. But in my case, 1970s, that was in the height of the Cold War. Brezhnev was president of the Soviet Union, and I went to Armenia in 1977 and studied there for a year. And people said, "Are you crazy? What are you doing? Why are you going over there? Why would somebody leave the comforts of America and go?" And so there's like this craziness factor attached to it. And before I went there, well, there was a few that had gone before me. Actually, here in this diocese, in the Western Diocese, only one had gone there. And that was Father Vartan, somebody that I looked up to as a young boy in preparation for the priesthood, somebody who became a mentor to me through the years. And we just found out, by way of a letter, a flyer that was sent out, an advertisement, that his community is honoring him this weekend by giving him a retirement party. And he's going to be retiring as the pastor of the St. Mary Armenian Church, and we can only wish him the best. He, like I said, you know, last night we talked about this too at the gathering. It's so important that as Christians, especially we have this unique calling as Orthodox Christians, to be able to connect with the saints. And I think it's so important that you, as a listener, as somebody developing his or her spirituality at this point, really adapt to a saint. Find a saint that speaks to you, that can become someone that you pray with, not pray to, but pray with in your spiritual growth. And several years ago, when I was in Cupertino, and we decided that the name of the church in Cupertino would be named after the Apostle Saint Andrew, I took it on myself to learn about Saint Andrew. Who was this apostle? And subsequently, he became my patron saint, and he still is, Saint Andrew the Apostle. In Armenian, he is called Nahagoch, the first called of Jesus Christ. And I've latched on to this idea of being the first called. How difficult it must have been for Saint Andrew to have followed Jesus. I mean, it was against everything. It was against his people, his covenant, his family values. He's the brother, of course, of Saint Peter, the great fisherman. I mean, what are you doing going after this religious fanatic? Jesus, come here, sit down, relax. $100. Take it easy. Make a living. And St. Andrew really had the guts. He was strong of character, if nothing else, that he was able to be the first called of Christ. And just remember that in anything that you do, it's very difficult to be the first. It's a little easier to be the second, a little bit more easier to be the third. And by the time you're the 100th, well, it's just natural. But to be the first is a difficult one. And St. Andrew has given me that courage to take this ministry in new places that otherwise people wouldn't explore. Father Vartan Kasparian was retiring, was really the first here in the Western Diocese. Somebody that we admired, and we can only wish him the best as he begins his life as a retired priest. I don't know if you ever can retire from the priesthood. No, you really can't, actually. This is not the right way to say it. He's retiring as the pastor of the church, but he's always a priest and a very, very good priest. And we wish him only the best of health and happiness so that he continues to inspire and bring people to the Christian message and to Christ. We are at the point in our podcast right now. Every week we select a song of the day, song of the week. Today I've picked out one called The Blue Moon. We just had a blue moon in August. Hadn't been one for quite a while. And actually this weekend we get a harvest moon. It is the first full moon after the equinox. So get out there and look at that beautiful That beautiful harvest moon as big as Frank Bigelow's head. And enjoy it. And enjoy the song, Blue Moon, by the artist Artash. Was called Blue Moon by Artash, and we will put a link on our show notes today so you could check out all of his good music and check out this piece as well. And also, while we took the break for the music, Susie did look up some information about Father Vartan, and we will put a link on our show notes as well. Well, about a series that is being done by the Western Diocese called The Priest and the Church. And these are small little video clips about each of the priests that serve within the diocese. So do check out about Father Vartan, a nice and interesting, provocative interview. That's the word, you know. That's the word. You know, there's a lot of provocative stuff going on, and we're just tuned to it, aren't we? Okay, last several weeks I've been telling you we've been preparing for this walk. We're going to be walking 39 miles, 40 miles I was going to say, because actually with all the extras that you do, you're at 40 miles easy. And I told you we were preparing. We even did a podcast from the Rose Bowl in preparation. Do you remember that podcast a couple weeks ago? We did a compass from over there too as well. And it was wild. But what is that? 3 miles around the Rose Bowl. What did we do? I think two, was it three times around the Rose Bowl? Okay, 9 miles, huffer puffer, right? Now you try doing 39. Well, we did it and learned a lot about ourselves, about commitment. I want to share with you some ideas because, you know, my sister Anish has been doing it for several years. Ani has been doing it for a few years. My wife Susan has done it for, this time was her third year that she did it. So I've heard about it. It's not like I was unfamiliar, but it's a completely different thing when you engage yourself in it, because you're out there. It's one thing, you know, what to go around the Rose Bowl or to go in a certain, you know, to train for it. Okay, because you always know you can come back. But when you're out there, you're out there. You remember there was a book, it's called The Journey or The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. I kept referring to this metaphor. You're just out there. This is a book about 50 years ago or something, right in the 1960s or 70s. And it was about a guy, Petty Crook, and finding solace, finding a way of salvation, really, from this long-distance journey of running and just letting it out, and that solace that's out there. And I cannot recommend it enough. If you have never done anything like this, do sign up for something like this. And in particular, the Avon Walk, it is definitely something worthwhile. I want to share some ideas about that as well, specifically about Avon, because what they're doing for breast cancer is over and above what you would find elsewhere. It's not just a question of giving money to research. It's actually helping people. People who cannot help themselves. People who might not have opportunities to medical treatment in cases of cancer, severe breast cancer. And we were out there, 17 of us, like I said, led by Janusz, and we were at different paces. I believe at one time Susie was walking from our apostle group. Ani was walking, and Susie and Linda. And Susie made mention that she had figured out that there was really seven. Out of the 17 of us, there was about seven different groups, different paces, so to speak, that we're walking. Everybody's out there and at different paces. And of course, we are part of a bigger collective, 2,000 to 3,000 people, mostly women, but there was a lot of men. And one man in particular really, really was one that really touched me in a very unique way. He had a sign on his back. And I get choked up every time I think about this. He had a sign on his back and he says, "I am walking in memory of my mother-in-law who died 10 years ago. Memory of my wife who died 5 years ago. And I'm walking so that my two daughters will never know breast cancer." I was just, like I said, very moved by watching him walk like that. Like I said, there weren't too many men, but there was enough of us that we warranted on that night. We camped out all together. Everybody camps out. Beautiful sea of pink tents. And they had these giant, giant trucks, 18-wheelers that were the shower units. So there was enough men to warrant one of those trucks for us. So three of the trucks were for the women to shower, and there was one men's truck to shower in. And I've got to tell you, for being mobile units, these showers were pretty, pretty comfortable and pretty cleansing, pretty relaxing. Perhaps it's the situation we were in. You know, after the first day, we had walked 26 miles. You are exhausted, tired. But as soon as you get into the camp, the first thing that they have for you are these massagers that massage your feet and your back. Oh, does that feel good? And of course, you look like you've been drenched. There's so much sweat and so much exhaustion in you, and you just welcome any opportunity to relax. So we went into this this camp area, and we had a time to relax before the next day we went out and again walked the 13 miles that were in front of us. Now, what I want to do is share with you a couple ideas, a couple thoughts that I had through the walk, through the experience, and hope you'll take some of this and really contemplate it. I hope to be able to blog about it and really get deep, because I think that there were some really important points in it. But let me begin by the beginning of the walk. Beautiful, beautiful Santa Barbara morning. It is the autumnal equinox. It was the 23rd of the equinox, and here we are, 17 of us joining for 2,000 people ready to walk. And the sun is coming up, and everybody's getting energized. Sun comes up, and we start walking. Maybe about mile two or mile three, we pass this homeless man, and he is on a park bench. And he has the iconic shopping cart right next to him, you know, filled with bags and excess clothes and probably remnants of some food. And it's all in there. And he's on the park bench, half asleep. This is early morning, half asleep, but also aware of this massive group of people that are passing by him. And I thought to myself, okay, we are out here raising money and awareness for breast cancer. And yet homelessness is also a problem, is also a disease of our society. And it was very symbolic that we're just walking past him, you know. And which one do you reach out for? Okay, you're doing something good for breast cancer. And that homeless man just made me realize that, yeah, okay, you're doing all this for breast cancer, but there are other problems. And it gets overwhelming unless you can focus. So the first thing I want to share with you is the idea of focus. So many times we get overwhelmed. And yes, there are, like Jesus said, there will always be the poor. There will always be homeless people. And there will always be these cancers. And there will always be these different, and cancers not in the sense of just the breast cancer or malignant tumors. I'm talking about cancers even like homelessness or war, okay? Cancers that are against the natural order of life. And there will always be these difficulties, these problems in the world. You need to be able to be strong enough to focus on one of them. And so for that day, it was a really good reminder for me that, okay, for the next several miles, for the next 40 miles, I can't let my mind wander to too many things, because we are here for a purpose. Gave me a sense of purpose. And that's really important. No matter what goal you're going to do, and what's that beautiful saying that, you know, even the ocean is made up with one drop, or every journey begins with one foot on before the next. This was a journey we were taking, and we were together, and we were there for our purpose. And the homeless man is there as a reminder to remind us that we're not really escaping, that there's still all this other stuff going on in the world. There's still this tragedy going on in Syria. There's still genocide going on in Darfur. But you need to focus in on what you're doing. And for that moment, we were there for the purpose of breast cancer, to bring awareness to it and to raise funds. Each of us, by the way, had collected at the very least $1,800 to walk in the walk. And collectively, we had collected $4.7 million to aid research and aid people with breast cancer. Which brings me to my next thought, and that's about the organization. You know, you've been listening to me in the next step, and I always am very careful not to get into the business angle of the church. In fact, throughout my entire 30 years of ministry, I have rejected that word business with the church. It gives you a dirty feeling, doesn't it? The church is a business. You don't want to think of it that way. But that's when it occurred to me this week. This is a business, and business doesn't have to be a dirty word. It doesn't have to be a negative. It means basically you're organized. You have an organizational structure to it. There is a purpose. There is a model. And I saw the Avon Walk as really a business in the sense that it was very organized and it had expectations. Each of us walking was expected to collect $1,800. You couldn't walk. It wasn't I got $1,750. Can I walk? No, you can't. There's the $1,800. That's in front of you. That's your commitment level. Are you committed to it? Then you've got to put up. And that's the amount that you're donating to the cause. Now, aside from that, you've got to pay your registration fee. You've got to get out there to the walk. And in our case, from Los Angeles to Santa Barbara, it's a good 100-mile drive, 100 miles back. For many of our people, I had the luxury of being able to stay over with some friends. But many of our people had to stay in a hotel that first night because the next morning we began at dawn. And so all of these expenses, you put it on top of one another. And these are expenses coming to the person. And there is no apology for it. There's no apology in the sense that, hey, you've collected $1,800, let's make it easy for you. No, this is your responsibility. You have this beautiful responsibility to help other people. Obligation, responsibility, it's all there. And last night when we were talking, if you get a chance to watch the video from the 30th anniversary, at the very end, Dr. Dekmejian, political science at USC, he made the final remarks at the event last night. He used a word that I want to share with you. It is the privilege to serve the poor. He said this, and I thought, wow, what a beautiful way of expressing it. It really is a privilege to be able to walk. It's a privilege to be able to wake up in the morning and say that you want to do something for someone else. It is a privilege to go out there and help someone else. It is a privilege to be a Christian. And by that, it doesn't mean that you have the privilege and the right to say you're better than everybody else. It is a privilege to bear the name of Christ. And what is Christ? But the definition of love, the definition of sacrifice, to give of yourself. And that's what this walk was. It was a definition. It was a definition of love, of sacrifice, of giving ourselves for a cause that was greater than ourselves, that would impact and help people. And I think that this is what I walked away with. I realized that, you know, there are no excuses for love. If you're going to love, don't make excuses about it. Don't pretend that it is something that, okay, if you do this, then it'll be easier on the other side. No, it's still going to be hard. That's been the message of the cross for the last several weeks. We've been talking about it here on this podcast, in our In Step with Christ. We've been talking about it, blogging about it, about the power of the cross. Why does St. Paul say, why does he say that? He says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are lost, but to those who are being saved, for those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross, the message of the cross, not the wooden cross, not the thing you stick on your chest, but the word of the cross, the message of it. And what is the message? Christ sacrificing, giving himself. And so you understand that this is really a privilege to be able to bear the name of Christ. To call yourself a Christian means that you have to walk up and you have to walk up to the bat and take what it takes. It's going to be difficult. He wants to follow me, says Jesus. Let him pick up his cross and follow me. And you know, there's nothing like a 39-mile walk with blisters on your feet, sweating from all over, to realize that, yes, you know, it is a privilege to be able to help others. It is a privilege to love. It is a privilege to really walk in the shoes of others. It is a privilege to walk in his shoes, in the shoes of Christ. It was a beautiful weekend. And each of us walked away with so many different expressions, different thoughts. In our small little group of 17, we had people who were walking, because like myself, a survivor of cancer. Others who were walking because they knew a survivor, and such as myself, I knew and had peak family members that were survivors. And it's very, very rare to find somebody that isn't touched by cancer, and certainly we did. In this group, we met one woman who said that, no, she didn't know anybody who had cancer, but she wanted to walk because it was the right thing to do. So people were there for a variety of reasons. It wasn't up to us to find out why they were there, what they were doing there, but it was up to us to really look around and realize that we were there. We were walking. And in that walk, we had this beautiful opportunity to make an expression of our faith, to live out our faith. And that, to me, was probably the best part and the reason why I would recommend. Whether you walk on something great as an Avon Walk, and I highly recommend it, go to avonwalk.org, sign up for next year. There's walks throughout the country, throughout the United States. It doesn't necessarily have to be in Santa Barbara. But find a cause that you believe in and give of yourself to it. In his shoes. Walk in the shoes of someone else. Well, that harpist tells us it is time for Ani and her bubbles, spiritual bubbles. Now, Ani is on break. We are playing a series of the best of Ani. Here is one from 2010 after she did the Avon Walk.
I know Father Voskin mentioned to you that I participated in the Avon Walk for breast cancer. And thank you to all of you who sponsored me on my journey. It was 39.3 miles of walking, walking, and more walking to help bring an end to breast cancer. But I didn't, and I couldn't do it alone. I had the honor of walking all 39.3 miles with my mom. And I say honor because even though I live with her and we're very close, she has participated in these walks for 7 years. And on top of that, she is celebrating 17 years as a breast cancer survivor. So while I was only 6 years old when she battled this horrible disease, I do remember the fear and the worry, but I also remember her strength and courage and her endless faith and prayers that helped her battle cancer. So it is an honor not only to have her as my mother, but to have the opportunity to walk next to her 17 years later. And while 17 years later, we're still trying to find a cure for breast cancer, we weren't doing it alone either. 2,800 other women and men walked with us. 2,800 other lives touched by breast cancer in some way. There were other mothers and daughters walking together, and some walking alone. Some walked for their sisters, their aunts, wives, grandmothers. Others walk so their daughters won't have to. When you walk a walk like this, it's more than just one weekend. It's an experience. It's memories shared and memories made. And it's really walking in her shoes. You meet so many fascinating people, all with their own stories of strength, love, and faith. We met one couple who had met on the Avon Walk 6 years ago. They were engaged the next time they walked, and married the next. This was their sixth walk together, not just walking for each other, but for the cause. Then we met a crew member whose wife was celebrating 5 years as a survivor, and his mother 10. The two of them make a point to celebrate survival and life by walking together one walk and crewing another walk together, two events every year, celebrating life together. Then there was a man walking alone with a t-shirt that read, Every year, for 2 days, I chase women, in memory of my loving wife. This was his 8th walk. Among the crowds are survivors, like my mom, celebrating life, their family and friends walking too, their support systems, their backbone. Some celebrating over 20 years of survivorship, and others still struggling, fighting cancer, and walking 39.3 miles with scarves on their hairless heads, chemo running through their blood, but hope in their hearts. One woman spoke at the opening and closing ceremonies, and we all had the honor of listening to her story. She is a 2-month breast cancer survivor and walked all 39.3 miles only 1 week after having a double mastectomy. Her story started our walk, filling us with anticipation, hope, and strength. We walked in her shoes for all the women and men who have fought her fight too. Like I said earlier, an event like this isn't something that's over in just 2 days. It's not just another weekend activity. It stays with you. It's a weekend full of pink ribbons, and everyone is tied together with that pink ribbon. The strength, the unity, the power that comes from the walkers is unlike anything else. Everyone is walking in her shoes. In that weekend, your story is her story, is his story, is the fight of every survivor, and you walk in their honor, in their memory, and with their strength. But it's all too familiar a disease now. Breast cancer, or stomach cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, brain, liver, lung cancer. Cancer is a household word. It's a dark cloud looming in the back of the mind. Whenever my mom and I go on a trip together, we get matching silver bracelets as a memento of that trip. For this walk, she bought a bracelet for each of us. Inscribed on it is, "What cancer cannot do." And I share it with you today as a final thought, because after walking with my mom and walking with so many whose lives have been touched by cancer, these words hold true. And it's what cancer cannot do that unites us all together in the fight to end this horrible disease. This is what cancer cannot do. Cancer cannot corrode faith, cannot shatter hope, or destroy peace. It cannot silence courage, invade the soul, or steal eternal life. It cannot suppress memories, it cannot kill friendship, and it cannot cripple love. Cancer cannot conquer the spirit. So this has been your pink spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind with good health, faith, and love to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Better the second time around, isn't it? Just beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Ani, so much. Ani did that back in 2010 when she walked the breast cancer walk, and the reflections are so appropriate even today. Just beautifully said. Did you pick up the word that she used? She said it was an honor to walk with these people. It was an honor to listen. And it's basically that same word as privilege. It is a privilege to be a Christian. It is a privilege to go out there and help other people. It is a privilege to love. It is an honor to love. It is an honor and a privilege to walk in the shoes of others. Very beautifully said. And that's really the cornerstone of this ministry. What we do at Apostle is really get that message out. It's all about Armodoxy. Armodoxy is nothing more than the Armenian Orthodox faith minus all of the trappings out there. Just getting back down to the essentials. What Naregatsi was talking about, what Datevatsi was talking about, what St. Gregory the Illuminator brought when he said at the end of the Nicene Creed, "As for us, we shall glorify that which was from the beginning of all time," not something back in Palestine, not confined to the circumstances of our lives, but something that was from the beginning of all eternity. And truthfully, that is where all goodness begins. It begins at the beginning, because all of this has been created with love in mind, and that is the ultimate goodness. So that's what we're about, and that's what we do through Apostle. So, with that in mind, here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved. And she has some sore feet, too.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We are on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epuzzle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And while they push that piano out of here, let me tell you that Susie was a real trooper. Got a chance to actually walk a few miles with her toward the end. Yeah, we were looking forward to spending some time on the road during those 39 miles. But like I said, kind of all found our own pace at different paces. Some quicker, some a little slower, but all of us made it through. And that was really what was exciting, what it was all about, just being together and getting there. So thank you, Susie, for that reminder, because Epostle in His Shoes, all of this is made possible through your prayers. Your prayers go a long way to keep us really going. I mean, even the walking. Let me tell you about the prayers, okay? Every one of us had names that we brought with us. Names of survivors, of victims, of cancer, of breast cancer specifically. And we walked with those and we prayed. There were so many opportunities. At the very, very, very end, this was not a religious organization. I mean, obviously, with 2,000-3,000 people there, people were from all different backgrounds. But everyone had a very silent prayer, had an opportunity to contemplate. And certainly, I had four pieces of paper filled with lists of people that I had tragically, that throughout my lifetime, throughout my 30 years as a priest, I've had the opportunity to know, the privilege of knowing, the honor of knowing. And we prayed. We prayed for, yes, the survivors, and we prayed for the victims. Mostly we prayed for the end to cancer. And this prayer is not about God coming down from heaven and doing something. It's a prayer to awaken up God within us, because we each have that opportunity to be a participant in the solution. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. We created cancer. We created these difficulties. The pollution that we put into our environment, the pollution that we put into our system, we've created the mess. Why do we expect somebody from outside to come over and fix it? We need to find our own solutions. And so the prayer is not just, God, come and help us. God, give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. Give me the courage to be able to conquer this ugliness that is all around me. And so when we ask you for your prayers, we ask for your help in this ministry. It's, God, I enjoy this show. I enjoy this ministry. I want to be a part of this ministry. Give me the courage to stand up, like a Saint Andrew, to stand up even when others aren't standing up and saying, here is my contribution. I believe in it, and I want to see it go forward.
Spin me back down the years and the days of my youth. Draw the lace and black curtains and shut out the whole truth. Spin me down the long ages, let them sing the song.
the last portion of today's show, I want to talk about, well, last night, about the priesthood, about 30 years of the priesthood. Last night, we had a chance to get together at the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale and celebrate the 30th anniversary of my ordination. Happened to be exactly on the day, and what an evening it was. We had people coming from throughout the 30 years, people from San Jose, who are now in the Los Angeles area, people from my former parish in Pasadena, and of course, a large number of them from the Glendale Parish. And all together, we had a chance to really look back, but at the same time, talk about where we're going. Where we're going, not as a parish, but as a church. And how important Apostle, how important In His Shoes ministry is, because we're talking really about the message of Christ. How important it is to really act out, to serve the community and to serve others. And again, I want to invite you to take a look at our website. We'll put a link on today's show notes to YouTube/Armadoxy. It'll be probably a couple days before the video is processed and up there. But do check out that website, because that's where all of our videos are. But for right now, really, the one thing that I can say, the one word that comes out of my mouth today is Thanksgiving. You know, leading up to the celebration, leading up to any anniversary, it's an opportunity to really look back. More importantly, it's an opportunity to look forward, right? Because the past is past. And you really, in looking at the past, you can't find another word besides Thanksgiving. Being thankful to God that you've been called to this ministry. Being thankful to your ordaining bishop who had the confidence. Really, I was filled with thanksgiving that my spiritual father, Archbishop Vacha, had the confidence to ordain me and call me to this ministry. And most importantly, the thankfulness that I had to people that really put up with a lot of stuff that is seemingly unorthodox, but is really right along the orthodox trail. I mean, if you think about it, orthodoxy means the straight path, and the straight path is to keep in line with what Christ taught. And there was only one message, the message of love. The kingdom of God has been enacted. You are loved right now. God is with you right now. And it doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're smart. You're not too bright. You're not the brightest bulb in the group. It doesn't really matter, because God loves you, and each of you are special. Each of you. It has nothing to do with anything besides the love of God. And if He loves you, how much more you need to love others. The kingdom of God is at hand. And I invite you to really check out that video from last night, because we talked about really the mission of the church. It comes to us from, well, from Jesus Christ Himself, who stood up after His 40 days in the wilderness and said, "This is for which I have come, to preach to the poor, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to talk about freedom to the oppressed, to the prisoners." And how much more we as the church, as the body of Christ, are called to do the same. To continue the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. My ministry, any priest's ministry, is not ours, but Christ's ministry, if we are truthful to the gospel, right? And so what is Christ's ministry? It's all outlined right there. Get out there. Preach to the poor. Give to the poor, reach out to the homeless, find the people who need liberating, help and love people. By this, by the love that you have, says Jesus, people will know that you are my children. And with that, we will wind down today's show with a reading from last night. Linda Zadoyan from Compass Podcast. She was with us last night, and she offered a reading of one of her podcasts. We'll put a link on our show notes today so you could check the entire podcast out. But for right now, here is a short excerpt from last night's reading.
And so we have evolved. We're bringing it all together, the good and the bad from throughout the years. And we're calling it Armadoxy. It's a hybrid of Armenian Orthodoxy made relevant, not by touching the message, but by speaking to the times. It is the mix of chant and rock and roll. It is walking in the sandals of Christ and in the shoes of the homeless, the cancer victim, and the prisoner. Armadoxy has arrived. And now I'd like to share the reading. These are the lyrics to Wind Up by Ian Anderson. When I was young and they packed me off to school and taught me how not to play the game, I didn't mind if they groomed me for success or if they said that I was a fool. So I left there in the morning with their God tucked underneath my arm, their half-assed smiles, and the book of rules. So I asked this God a question, and by way of firm reply, he said, "I'm not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays." So to my old headmaster, and to anyone who cares, before I'm through, I'd like to say my prayers. I don't believe you. You had the whole damn thing all wrong. He's not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. Well, you can excommunicate me on my way to Sunday school and have all the bishops harmonize these lines. How do you dare tell me that I'm my father's son when that was just an accident of birth? I'd rather look around me, compose a better song, because that's the honest measure of my worth. In your pomp and all your glory, you're a poorer man than me, as you lick the boots of death born out of fear. I don't believe you. You had the whole damn thing all wrong. He's not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays.
Like I said, it was a very special evening, and that poem really puts it in perspective. If God is not something you wind up only on Sundays, then what does that mean? He's wound up all the time. He's a 24/7 God. In other words, love is 24/7 in your life. All the time. Not just on Sunday mornings. All the time. And when you have love in your heart all the time, you open up yourself to the possibilities that only love can provide. The possibility to find peace, peace of mind, peace of conscience for yourself, for your family, for your community, and ultimately for the world. It begins with love. And I can't think of a more appropriate theme than this to end today's show and really put it all together. Love. Hey, listen, at the beginning of today's show, I told you about something new. Well, actually, it is my gift. On the 30th anniversary of my ordination, a new project, we launched it last night. It is dedicated to two very important women in my life. One is my sister, Anush. The other is my wife, Susan. Their names, Anush and Susan. I was looking at them yesterday. First time in all these years, I realized they're the same letters coming back and forth. Put it together and we got Sunsash. Sunsash is a daily inspiration and it is yours for the asking. It is our gift to you. On this 30th anniversary, all you have to do is drop us an email at feedback@epostle.net and say you want to get on the Sunsash list. And once a day, you'll get an inspiration, a little quote that is handpicked from me. I will send it out to you in email form. Something bright, ornamental. Sunslash. Something to kickstart the day, okay? Hey, listen, I want to invite you to our website, inissues.org, as well as to epostle.net. Take a look at all the pictures. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. You'll see the pictures from the Avon Walk from last night, the videos, and you can find today's podcast as well as every podcast we've done from the beginning of time. Videos, all kinds of stuff. Go there. Epostle, really easy to remember. Apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Vahir, our webman, for Linda, that reading, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.